Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. We're going to continue through our verse-by-verse study here. We're in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's see. We'll pick it up in verse 5. There, to watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness, God, and I thank you that we can be sure, we know that you care, as we've sung. Father, your word is so replete with that. And Father, we are looking to you tonight. I'm thankful for each one here. I'm thankful for those that are here with us online as well. And dear God, I pray that you would just speak to the need of every heart today from your word. Help us, comfort us, convict us, grow us by your Holy Spirit and by your word as only you can, dear God. And might our hearts just be drawn closer to you, comforted in you, challenged in you, God, convicted, whatever the need is. Father, we're so thankful that with great wisdom, with great love, and with great power, you work on our hearts, dear God, to help us follow you, and help us, Father, that you would shine through us to be salt and light, God, to those that are around us. And so, Father, we're asking you just to continue to do that. We pray that in all things Christ would be glorified, that your church, dear God, would be edified. And we look to you for these things and pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we were looking at the behavior of a faithful minister. See where we're at here. We were going down the list. The behaviors of faithfulness in 2 Timothy here. Let's see. Preach the word, verse 2. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. they'll turn away their ears. Verse 4. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. We talked about watching about all things, being sober, watching around us, knowing what's going on around us spiritually. Amen. To have and be prepared for the battles that we are to fight. Watchful in doctrine, watchful in behavior, watchful in life, watchful in faith, watchful in our thoughts. All of those things we need to be. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God has a different program for the lost. They're condemned, all right? Once you're saved, we are chastened that we should not be condemned to the world. And that should not, that has the idea, that's part of God's plan. It's not saying, well, I'm chastening you, so you should not be condemned. You might be condemned to the world, but you shouldn't be. That's not what that's saying. The purpose is, because God has lifted us from condemnation, we will not be. That's the purpose. It's like, it's the same thing in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we understand that if you believe in Christ, there's no chance you're going to perish, okay? That should is a purpose thing. That's why God did that. And once you're saved, God purposely sets us aside to a chastening program. We are delivered from condemnation,
and there's a chastening program for God's people. And if we would judge ourselves, then we're going to be chastening the Lord. And why? For the purpose, because He's already purposed that we should not be condemned with the world. And so that chastening will come from a loving loving Father. We are to follow in that. Question 17, if you have your one of the books with you, says, what can a pastor do to be aware of what is going on in the lives of church members? Well, I hope that you would certainly come to me with things that we can pray for. And those things, I think one of the greatest things that we do is share our prayer requests. We figure out the trials, the burdens that are going on, you know, and just by meeting, we learn where people are at, what they're doing in life, you know, going to school, traveling, jobs they're doing. So those are the kind of things that we learn to pray for, you know. And certainly, you know, if you have a need that you think somehow that I am unaware of and need to know, I hope you'll let me know. Amen. So, because I certainly want to pray. And be aware of that. Paul tells us, watch in all things, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions, I think, is where we're going to pick it up. See if you can watch, endure afflictions. And that word, endure there, kakapatheo, and to endure hardness, to suffer trouble, to endure affliction. He says, he wants Timothy to endure afflictions. Now he talks about this word here, and he talks about afflictions that Timothy was going to face earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. In 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So he's calling Timothy to be a partaker. Remember, when we suffer for Christ, we have a what? A fellowship with Him in the sufferings. You know, Paul wanted to know the fellowship of his suffering. See, because when we're doing right and we are following the Lord, He is going through us with our sufferings. If we go out of the way to avoid sufferings that would come for godliness, persecution or sufferings, then we're going to miss the fellowship that we would have with Christ through those sufferings. And Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to go through whatever He calls me to go through. You know, when I read the book of Acts and I read the letters of Paul, and especially in the things that he went through, it's always an encouraging to me. It's always a challenge. You know, when I want to go out and do something that I know that God wants me to do, that maybe I'm not real thrilled about doing it, you know, you're going to get persecuted or you're out of your comfort zone. You know, I thought about Paul, the times that he went out to witness and to plant those churches. You know, when he went out, those Jews were hunting him. There were times when he went out. One time he was leaving Corinth, and he was going to work his way back toward Jerusalem, but he found out that they were lying in wait for him, so he went back up to Philippi and back around that way. So not only did he worry about being persecuted when he got there, for preaching all that, but there were people hunting him along the way where he'd already been preaching. They were lying in wait for him. And I thought, what am I complaining about? Like Brother Joe was telling us, we can go out here and share the gospel without persecution, you know. I'm walking out my door to go pass out tracts, to go knock on doors. Nobody's hunting me down. Nobody's waiting around the corner to jump on me, you know. And not so with the Apostle Paul, all right. That'll give you some courage, won't it? And some encouragement. He tells them to endure afflictions. Now, we saw back there in verse 8, it's interesting that back there in verse 8, he says, in verse 8, be thou partaker of the afflictions. And in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1, it's sug, it's got a prefix before it, sug kakapatheo, and that's with. And it has the idea there of to suffer hardship together with one. Together with one. So Paul was kind of encouraging Timothy, I want you to, he obviously went through many sufferings, and Timothy, seeing all that he was going through, he was encouraging, listen, you're going to be a fellow sufferer. Don't be afraid to be a fellow sufferer with other believers. Amen. The Bible talks about we're supposed to remember our other brethren that are going through the same trials, right? A fellow sufferer. That was back in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he says to endure afflictions, it's that word without the prefix, without the sug, which means with. And so the idea is he's taking it even further now, because the Apostle Paul, what? He knows that during this second imprisonment, he's not going to be free from this one. He is going to become a martyr for the Lord. He's encouraging Timothy, get into fellowship of the suffering. Be ready to do that by the power of Christ with other believers. With Christ will be with you. And by the way, Timothy, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to suffer alone. I'm going to be gone. There may not be others that suffer with you. Remember when Paul said at one point, all have forsaken me. And they all forsook our Lord at the cross, didn't they? And he went on anyway. When did he show his greatest love? When they forsook him. When his disciples forsook him. He went on to the cross. And Paul was telling Timothy, we're going to need to be able to stand. And Christ may, obviously, being born again, we never have to stand truly alone because Christ is with us. Amen. But there may be some times when there is no one else but Christ with us. And by the way, when that time comes, he'll be enough. Amen. He'll be enough. And he would call us to do that. He would call us to do that. To suffer whatever hardships would come together with others. Or if it's, you know, Jesus and me, as one song says, you know, Paul knew that he was not forsaken by Christ ever. And so he encouraged him. He is encouraged in that through what we read. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist, a bringer of good tidings. The name given to New Testament heralds of salvation. So he is encouraging him to that. You know, Timothy at this time was kind of limited geographically. He was ministering in Ephesus, and Paul is writing to him there. He's not been traveling as he was with the Apostle Paul when he was not in prison and all those things. So he's kind of getting planted in one place. And I like that. Paul reminds him, do the work of an evangelist. What's he talking about? Don't lay aside witnessing, Timothy. Don't get so busy with the believers and the growing and all those things that you forget about the lost. We need to go out and we need to get the gospel out. And we need to remember that in our church. We need to be getting the gospel out. Amen. And he tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. When Paul and the others were making, his team were making their way back to Jerusalem, they stopped in the house of Philip in Caesarea. Acts 21:8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea and entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Philip, that was, which is one of the seven, one of the first seven deacons. He's the one that that God led to the Ethiopian eunuch out there in the wilderness where he got saved and then baptized him, and which is one of the seven, and abode with him. So he was an evangelist. It's one of the gifts. Ephesians 4:11, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, we know that there are spiritual gifts given, but we also know that believers really are commanded to do all of the, in a sense, the things the spiritual gifts define. Some people may have the gift of mercy, where they can comfort the sick, and they just have a gift of that, encouraging people in the hospital and those type things. But how many of us are supposed to do that? All of us. Just because you don't have a gift doesn't mean you don't go visit somebody in the hospital, okay? What the gift means is, as you minister in all the ways that God calls us to minister, you're going to find that you're going to be more blessed in certain areas. It's going to seem to be a little bit more effectual in certain areas. Your gift's going to begin to show. But that doesn't mean that there's my gift. Now I'm going to forsake all else. I don't have to evangelize. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be a servant and do helps to help other people. Maybe mow somebody's yard. No, all believers can do those things. Amen. But you're going to find out as you're ministering in whatever way God calls you, there's going to be something that the Spirit's going to show you. He's helping you in this. You're seeing more fruit in this. Maybe this particular ministry isn't as hard for you, and your gift is going to manifest itself in that way. And yet we are to minister in multiple ways. And just because we don't have a gift, the gift of evangelism doesn't mean we don't tell people about Jesus. Amen. It's for all of us, and all the things that God commands us. So Timothy was overseeing this, limited geographically perhaps, and Paul reminds him, don't forget the lost while ministering to the saints. I like when Jesus, that multitude was coming out of Samaria to see Jesus because the Samaritan woman had gone back into town, and apparently they were reaping some souls there, and Jesus said to them, He said, I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Others labored, you have entered into their labors. So there were those people, those Samaritans that were coming, those fields that were white unto harvest. Jesus said, in that context, lift up your eyes, look on the heart. They're white already unto harvest. Those people that were coming, multitudes of others had already ministered to them. As a matter of fact, the Samaritan woman whom Jesus talked to believed Messiah was coming. There was some ministering there. There was some acceptance of faith. And Jesus said, others have labored here, and now you went out, and you happened to be in the place of reaping. But God uses all of that. And I believe that when we go out and share the gospel, that God's going to bless that. People may not get saved when you're talking to them or when I'm talking to them, but you know what? That's going to work in their heart. That's going to work in their heart. Now, that they may be hardened and rejected, and God would be glorified in their condemnation when he reminds them of that time the gospel was shared to them. See, God is glorified when people receive the gospel and when people reject it. Why? Because he's just and righteous. And those things are all taken account of by God. Remember, one of the basis for being a faithful minister as we began the study was the fact that God is watching over all things, and he is the one who is going to be our judge at the judgment seat of Christ as to our works, how we've done, receiving rewards, losing rewards, whatever it might be. And so Paul encourages Timothy to not forget the gospel. He continues, 2 Timothy 4:5, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. And the word there has the idea of to bear or bring full, to make full, to fulfill the ministry in every part. What Paul's really saying is there, Timothy, finish. Finish. I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to forget things along the way. And I want you to take it to the end. Make full proof of your... to carry through to the end. To accomplish. Has that... is what that word has the idea of. As I was looking at that, it was interesting it comes from the same word that we find in Acts 12:25, where Barnabas and Saul they were ministering in Antioch for a while. The church had started there, and then it was prophesied that there was going to be a dearth in Jerusalem. Remember that? So Barnabas and Saul were sent from the church north there, from Antioch in Syria. They were sent south to Jerusalem to minister to the saints who were going to be in need during that drought. And the Bible says, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. They took Mark back with them, but they fulfilled their ministry. And that word there has that idea, to cause, to abound, to furnish, or supply liberally. And it's akin, this word here, that's part of the root of this word where you find full proof. And this word here also has part of that same base there, when they had fulfilled their ministry. So I was thinking about that, to bring to full, to make full. And when they did that ministry and took the supplies to those in Jerusalem, they were actually taking stuff that they needed. And the word there, when they fulfilled the ministry, to cause to abound, to furnish, to supply liberally. And I thought, wow, well, that's literally end. They finished the job and they were actually supplying and furnishing all those things. And I thought about that in making full proof of thy ministry. In other words, Paul says, I've not shunned to preach to you all the counsel of God. Make sure that we, as we're discipling people, that we are sharing all the counsel of God, that we are filling them with what they need, so that we supply the supply of the word for the challenges of life. Amen. The doctrines to stand on, the promises to claim, the callings upon us as believers, what we're to be doing. Make it broad, make it full, you know, so that others can learn and grow. What a challenge. Paul certainly did that with those that he preached to. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Truly furnished, there it is, unto all good works. Just like those saints, apparently when Paul and Barnabas got done, were truly furnished with all they needed for the drought. When Paul got done delivering the spiritual truths, the believers were truly furnished with all they needed for the spiritual drought in the world around them. And to face those things that God would have for them to face. Make full proof of thy ministry. Diakonia, the same word that we get deacon from. And it's a servant. You see, Timothy, in a sense, was, it seems, serving at least for a while as a pastor here. But what does he say? He says, make full proof of thy ministry. A pastor may be a noble position, but it's still a service. It's a service. How many times have you heard me say it here? We have one master and we're all brethren. Amen. And who is the shepherd of this church? Jesus Christ is. Amen. Jesus Christ. And you and I are servants. We have different gifts, different callings, and we exercise those. And everyone is needed. Everyone is as important as the other and needed. in the body of Christ. Jesus said in Mark 9:35, he sat down, called the 12, saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so we are to be servants of one another. Sometimes I get a little jealous, maybe convicted. I hear about this church and how everybody serves one another. And I sit in that room right back there a lot of times by myself for hours, 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 you know, just prepared. And I feel like, God, they're doing more than I am. God reminds me, this is what I have for you. This is what you have to do. My flock is gathered here, and I've called you to feed them. So though it seems in a sense that you're separated from them in doing that, you're in that room all by yourself. But that's what I've called you to do. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful for the callings on God's people. And I get out and I get to do some of that, and I enjoy that when I do that. But I've heard in instances where others have done far more than I have in that. That's for sure. But that's because that's how God has dished it out, isn't it? That's how He's growing us together as a church. And I'm thankful for that. We need each other, you know. There's times and you know that there's things that I can't do. There's times there's some needs that I can't meet, and we see that among each other. You know, this person can't meet that, somebody else what is able to go and do that. Amen. And we're able to fill in when we can. Amen. And that's what God's looking at. You know, what did God say when Mary offered that incense and broke that open there, and Judas got mad because he didn't get to put that in his savings, you know. And Jesus said she had done what she could. She had done what she could. He understood what she did, and she had done what she could. And that's what God's looking at you now. We're working together as a church. Praise God for that. But you know what? As we've studied the judgment seat of Christ, we don't stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a church. We stand individually. And we answer to God for the part that He had for that yourself as an individual in that church to be strengthening that church. I close with this thought. I had one teacher in Bible college. He used to define the fear of the Lord as this. He says, what is the fear of the Lord? He says, I've often defined it as this. He said, it's the fear of the Lord is knowing that once you're saved, there's an all-knowing God on board. The Holy God is living in your heart. The Holy Spirit is in you. There's an all-knowing God on board. That all-knowing God, secondly, is keeping an accurate record of all that He's given us, of all that He's called to do. The all-knowing God on board is keeping an exhaustive and accurate record of all of our service toward Him, all of our callings. And one day we will stand before that all-knowing God to give an account of the accurate record that He has kept for in our service and life for Him here. He defined that as the fear of the Lord. It's like, well, that's gonna be a time, and at the judgment seat of Christ, our sins are not, our sins are judged in Christ. Amen. Those are gone. The Bible says to those that look for Him, He'll return the second time without sin. You see, when He comes for believers, sin's been dealt with. He went into the Holy of Holies. He took care of that. That's out of the way. That's not it. That's not for us for judgment anymore. But what? But our service is going to be tested, and the results of that. And I mentioned it before. I'm not sure that I'm right on this, but I'm mostly persuaded myself that service is likely to be public. I don't know that it's going to be. I don't know that it's going to be just between me and the Lord. I think that all may see God's judgment upon me, my failures and my rewards. You know, Jesus had nothing hidden that should not be revealed, and there's different things said about those who would be ashamed at His appearing. And I understand just the conviction of the soul. You know, God convicting your own personal soul also could be enough to do that. So I'm not trying to say that you're wrong if you have ever thoughts on that. But I know for me, it's a sobering thing to think, wow, what if that is public? What if it's all open? You know, what if God says, okay, everybody, I want you to show how Bob. I want you to see how Bob Crawford did for me while he lived his life on this earth. It's his turn now. That'll wake you up, won't it? And that'll be something. But we can be thankful that even with that thought, the one who knows us best loves us most. Amen. Loves us most. And thank God when we mess up, you know, we confess things and. God doesn't bring those back up, does He? Those are gone. Those are gone forever. But we will, you know, all of us, I think, at the judgment seat of Christ, there are going to be some things that we're ashamed of. But I think that believers are going to have rewards too. Because, you know, when Jesus says things like, you know, if you give somebody a cup of cold water, name of a disciple, you should know why it's losers of reward. You know, God is keeping an amazing record, okay? And He knows. And he's just, He's merciful, but I'm looking forward to heaven. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand, what? There are pleasures forevermore. So think about the best thing that you could possibly experience. And triple and multiply that more than you can imagine, yeah, and that's heaven. You know, God says it's fullness of joy, it's pleasures forevermore. And how do we apply that? We take it by faith. There are things that we enjoy in this life that are pleasures, and we enjoy them why? Because we know the Lord, we know their blessings from Him. We know those things are in His will. But take those things, take some of those most joyous things, and God says, I have even far more coming when we're going to be with Him in heaven. And we can be thankful for that. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your church. And God, I thank You for Your love to us. And God, that is an amazing thing. Father, we have read about the lives of so many in Your word, and we've seen their errors, we've seen their shame, dear God, but we've also seen Your help, Your encouragement, we've seen their victories too, dear God, and I pray that as the days go by, dear Lord, that we would want to be building up victories, God, that we would want to be seeking You to remove those things from our life that would cause shame, Father, when we would see You. Time and again in Your word through the Psalms and through the New Testament letters as well, we are told, dear God, to hate evil and to love the good. And Father, it seems that there's always room for us to go each direction in that with our wicked heart. And so, God, I just pray for that more and more, Father, that we would seek the good, love the good. We have our food unto holiness, You said, and then the end, everlasting life. Dear God, that we would seek that. Father, give us a greater hatred for sin. Dear God, we see the destructive nature of it. Dear God, we see the physical destruction, the hearts that it breaks, all that sin can do, relationships that it tears up, dear God, it breaks Your heart. And Father, and help us to see it from your perspective, God, and to remember that, to ask you to help us with that when we're tempted to forget that, God. And we know that we can count on you, God, to deliver us if we will call upon you. And so I pray that we would just be victorious in that more and more. And I thank you, Father, for being with us tonight. And Lord, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.